Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 10th day of October, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the gloves are off, the battle begins, cue, and an open mic session. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumru Ambith. We do welcome callers. I will ask that you wait for just a bit, though. Let me get through some things here, and then we'll have an open mic session. Also, a reminder that we do have young people and some of our senior citizens listening. So we men who are tend to be somewhat passionate, especially with the things that are going crazy in this world today. But we're going to ask everybody to try to show some restraint and respect our young folks out there and our elders. Also keep comments and or questions short so that we can allow others to participate. We are in the question and answer mode, which means when you call in or hit the little icon on your computer screen, it will flag me that you would like to talk, but you will be muted until I unmute you. So whether you mute yourself or not doesn't matter. Our website, where we contain scheduling information, lots of late news, also reference material, study material, archives of programs, etc., are all on our website, www.pastordan.net. On the homepage, there is a button if you wish to help us out financially, and we certainly do appreciate the folks that help us that way. A shout out to Jimmy up there in Tampa with bankversusutv.com. Tonight we are live on YouTube. I guess Ustream finally bit the dust for Jimmy and his audience up there, but sometimes when things like that happen, good things can come about. So now he's on YouTube, or at least for the time being, which generally means it will be available to more people. So shout out to Jimmy and his audience, and welcome him aboard. I'm going to read again these two verses, and people might get tired of hearing them, but they're very, very important considering the things we're going to talk about tonight, which is the state of our nation and virtually all white nations, but particularly the United States of America. Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 14, "And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom." Now, this is why we are to be studied in the Word, okay? Most of our so-called believers in our countries, they hit this word Edom, they don't have a clue what it means. They don't have a clue. I know that because I went to church with them. My entire youth was spent, and a good bit of my young adulthood was in Protestant churches. So I know they don't know. Sunday school class, they don't talk about it. The pastors don't talk about it. And it's these little bits and pieces here that if you don't know it, you don't even understand what the Bible's trying to tell you. That's why it's called identity, what we teach. Identity. Correctly identifying the players, or who's who in the zoo, as we say. Edom Esau is a particular group of people that walk this earth. And as we talk about all the ills and woes in the white nations of this earth, you're going to find out that Edom Esau has a lot to do with that. So anyway, Ezekiel chapter 25, we're told, "And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people." That's funny. Yahweh has people. Jacob Israel. That's a people. That's not a country. It's certainly not that litter box in Palestine today. It's you and me, folks. Jacob Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury. Do you think Father Yahweh's angry at this time? Just maybe. Do you think the stench of this society and what it promotes and what we've done with our children and the lack of justice, do you think possibly that has created a stench in the nostrils of our Heavenly Father? I'd say that's a pretty safe bet. And they, meaning Edom, Esau, shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai. Obadiah only has one chapter, so we just usually say Obadiah verse 18. It backs it up when it says, the house of Jacob Israel, again, that's a people. House stands for a family. The house of Jacob Israel will be a fire, and the house of Joseph, the same people, a flame, and the house of Esau Edom for stubble. We went over this last program, what stubble is. They, meaning Esau Edom, will burn among them and devour them. Oh, I'm sorry, they would be us, Joseph and Jacob, will burn among them and devour them. There will not be any remaining of the house of Esau. Indeed, Yahweh has spoken. So right there out of your Bibles, in Obadiah, verse 18, we are told that there will not be any remaining, no remaining to the house of Edom, Esau. And how many times have we talked about the fact that the Edom, Esau are called today Jews. All right, that's out their own writings and their own encyclopedia, etc., etc., etc. Yahweh takes pleasure in His people; He crowns the humble with salvation. Psalm 149, verse 4. Jimmy says here, I got kicked off just before showtime, but I had a back door. P-U-K Google. Yeah, we know the censorship's in full swing. Absolutely. Okay, and then here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, we see that this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear Yahweh God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Where do we see our people keeping His commandments today? Not very many places. And so we're going to dive into Deuteronomy chapter 28. The blessings and the curses, we talk about it often, but we don't read it all that often. And the reason we're doing that is because if you will listen to the words, and I'm going to read from the Aramaic in the Peshitta Bible, and I guess some people might say it's Peshitta Bible, but it's George Lamps' translation out of the Aramaic. And we'll start at verse 1, but in chapter 28, we're told as His children what will happen if we are obedient. And if you shall hearken diligently, to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim God. Now, stop here for a minute. Does it say hearken diligently to the Scriptures? Does it say hearken diligently to the Catholic Church? Does it say hearken diligently to the Protestant church? Does it say anything in writing to hearken to? No, it says to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command you this day. Yahweh your Elohim God will set you on high above all the nations. Now, this word in the original is talking about the other races besides the Israelites. So set you high above all the other races or nations of the earth. It's not talking about countries, it's talking about people. So now here again, the modern day church world's telling everybody that everybody's equal. Yahweh loves everybody. Nobody is above anybody else. And right here out of Deuteronomy 28, it says, he will set who? His children, called by his name. Just like we hear it in 2 Chronicles 7:14. So he will set us high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come to you and overtake you if you shall hearken to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim God. Now, we talked about logic diagrams, and we went over 2 Chronicles 7:14 and some other verses where they form what they call logic ladders, where you have certain inputs into your AND gate, and you don't get the AND gate turned on, meaning you don't get the output you want until you have all of the inputs satisfied. So right here we're told in this logic ladder that all these blessings shall come to you if you shall hearken. We seem to forget that point. We want Yahweh to bless our land. We always see this, God bless America. But nobody ever talks about, well, do you think maybe we should do what he says to get this blessing? Well, I go to church and I tithe money every week. Really? And we're still going to hell in a handbasket, aren't we? So I don't think it's working very well. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, your offspring, obviously, your children, and the fruit of your ground, your harvest, the bearing of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your breadbasket and your dough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Comings and goings. You know, we used to be, like I said, I grew up in an area of the country, 99% white, maybe even higher. Nobody had to lock their doors. Nobody locked their cars. And many times cars had the ignition keys still hanging in them. People just didn't do that. Why? Because we were a righteous nation. We taught our children from the time they're little, you respect the rights of other people's property. You do not trespass. And that means you don't go into somebody else's car. That is their property. I was told as a boy on the farm that I do not go into the neighboring pastures that belong to the neighbor. As my father told me when I was old enough to understand, he said, do not trespass. And I said, what's that mean? He said, you're not allowed to go into your neighbor's property across that fence without his permission. I said, oh. And why is that? And my dad said, because he can shoot you. And I really don't want to see you get shot. So stay the hell out of his pasture field. He didn't say anything about it being, oh, it'd be terrible if he got shot, or we should take all the guns away, or we should file charges again. No, he said the neighbor would have the right to shoot you, lad. Now, if you call him on the phone or you walk down his road, clearly in sight, and ask for permission to hunt or fish on his property, that's a completely different thing. So, no trespassing. And Yahweh shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to surrender defeated before you. And they shall come out against you by one way and flee before you by seven ways. You know, there was a time when the white race, the Israelites of old, our armies were feared. Virtually invincible. And now we're a laughing stock. Why? Because we violated, as we're going to read through this, we violated the very things that our logic ladder says that we get the blessings for. We don't have the blessings today. Take a look around you. Do you think this is a blessed nation? I would seriously challenge you on what your brain is conceiving as blessed if you think this country's blessed at this point in time. I would seriously doubt that your brain is functioning above room temperature IQ level. And I know there's some low IQ folks out there that are never going to understand anything we're talking about. Yahweh has a way of dealing with those folks. It's basically behave yourself or we will dispatch you. Okay, if you choose to be ignorant or you choose to be uneducated, you have a right to do that. However, you don't have a right to misbehave or expect us to feed you, clothe you, or take care of you. No. Yahweh shall command blessings upon you in your storehouses and in all that you put your hand to. All that you put your hand to means every endeavor. And he shall bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim God gives you. Yahweh shall establish you a holy people to himself. In fact, the very word holy here means consecrated, separated. So you will be a separated or holy people to him, consecrated to Yahweh, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep all the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim God and walk in his ways. Now, I'm going to ask, and I've been asking this for 19 years on the radio, where are the white people living these verses? Would somebody please tell me? I don't see it. I don't see it in Europe. I don't see it in Eastern Europe. I don't see it in South Africa. I don't see it in Australia. I don't see it in Canada. I don't see it in the United States. I don't see anywhere in Central and South America. So where are these people that are spoken of here? And don't you dare point to these mainstream churches. I've been in them. Those people are so far from these verses, it would make your head spin. Okay, so think about that. Where are the people who live these verses that Yahweh would bless them? So far, 19 years, and nobody's answered that question. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of you. You know, that same fear of you is the same as the fear of Yahweh, meaning reverence. Not fear is you're going to hurt them, but they will reverence you, fear you in the sense that you are in control. You are the administrators. You're in authority. So verse 10 here says, and all the people of the earth shall see you, that see you will know that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid or reverence you as his sons and daughters. So here again, where is the universalism in these verses? It's not here. Now you know why the prostitute churches today do not teach from the Old Testament. Because they can't answer that one. It's very difficult to spiritualize that one. They'll try, and the weak-willed and the weak-minded, low IQ types will buy into that. But anybody that's thinking is going to go, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Verse 11, and Yahweh shall enrich you in good things, in the fruit of your body and in the bearing of your cattle and in the fruit of your ground in the land in which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give to you. Yahweh shall open up to you his good storehouse, the heaven, to give you rain to your land in its season. And he will bless all the works of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations. Isn't that funny? The United States used to be the greatest lender of finances to the world, and now we are completely in debt thanks to our Jewish interlopers. But you shall not borrow, and you shall rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you. Now this rule over many nations is talking about non-Israelite peoples. This all fits in with the whole idea of the kingdom and the New Jerusalem that comes down with the 12 names of the tribes on the gateways into the New Jerusalem. The whole symbology of that fits with this perfectly well. There's only one group of people that this Bible's talking about that will have administrative duties in the kingdom. That's the Israelites. You look at the history of the world, the true history, the historicity, and that's an actual word in your dictionary if you care to look it up. Historicity. It means true history. History can be true or false. It's just the story. Historicity is verifiable true history. That's why you don't hear the word spoken of in the English language very often. The same with Rhadamanthine. You don't hear that word used hardly ever because it means strictly and uncompromisingly just. You don't see very many people that description applies to these days, do you? Strictly and uncompromisingly just. We don't have justice in our lands anymore. The white race has completely given up its place in this world and allowed the usurpers to come in and convince them that they don't have a right to be Yahweh's chosen people. And yet, you know, the irony is, while they're convincing white people that it's, how should we say this, not politically correct to promote that the white race is special in any way, and yet they have convinced you to put that same honor on the demonic Jewish people. Isn't that a funny? You'll sit there and say, oh, you can't say that about the white race. Are you a racist? They'll be calling us names. They'll have our names on the billboard, and they'll be wanting to send us to the HR department, blah, blah, blah. But these same white people will sit in the pews listening to that prostitute proclaim the Jew is God's chosen people. And the Jews have done nothing in their entire existence to show that they're those people. Not one thing have they done. And yet white people blindly follow that prostitute and get their heads going, just like the Jews at the Wailing Wall, worshiping Satan, their father Satan, just sitting there undulating at the wall. Well, that's the Christians in the pews at the churches, their heads bobbing just like them Jews over there, and they're bobbing, oh, yeah, oh, preach it, pastor, yeah, preach it, buddy, y'all Jews, they be God's chosen people, we white folk, we just owe everything to them, they're Jews, you know, our Christianity comes from the Talmud. Well, wait a minute, what about the, no, it comes from the Talmud, doesn't it? Isn't that what the Jews use? Have you read the Talmud? Well, no. Oh, so you don't know what's in the Talmud, do you? Well, no, but the preacher said, do you think maybe you should maybe read it someday? You want to see where all this pedophilia and child rape and cannibalism of our children and torture and prostitution and drugs and pharmacies, all and GMO foods and the vaccines with the poison. You want to know where all that comes from? And it's completely legal in their sick, demented, satanic religion? Just go read the Talmud and you'll find it. Now, a lot of people, including Pastor Larry Blanchard, in his 7-book series on your biblical heritage, points this stuff out. He's got some excerpts. I had a friend send me a copy of this, I believe it's called the Sansino edition. There's several different editions or versions of the Talmud. To say it's sick is an understatement. Now remember, this same Talmud is where you find the Kol Nidre prayer that they pray in their synagogues, their temples to Satan. Every year they pray the Kol Nidre, which says that they can say any oath. They can take any oath, and it means nothing for the next 12 months. And then 12 months later, they'll take it again. So every year they take and pray this prayer so that under oath they have the right to lie to you, to the courtroom, to the judge or whoever's swearing them in for public office. So all of these Talmud thumpers are literally liars, and it's perfectly okay in their religion. How many Christians know that? How many of these dumbasses that sit in these churches, and that includes the Roman Catholic Church, if you want to call it a church, the organization, the political organization known as Roman Catholicism, how many of the attendees in these whitewashed sepulchers know that in our society we've got millions of these Talmud thumpers running around, and they're allowed to swear an oath of office? They take the witness stand and swear to tell the truth. They get in front of a TV camera and swear to tell the truth. Oh, I'm telling the truth. But the whole time they've prayed this prayer that they believe has covered them to lie while they're under oath. Do you think that has any effect on their testimony? Do you think it has any effect on the way they conduct business as our public servants? Do you think it has any effect on the way they conduct procedures in our intelligence agencies? Could it possibly have an effect on how they do business at the Pentagon? Because the Jews are all over all these organizations. So you've got a group of people who feel this way permeating your society, and you wonder why you have no honesty, no justice, and we've become basically a laughingstock to the world because we are completely untrustworthy. Well, it's not because of the white population that believe in the Christ. We're not to blame, but it's who we allow in our name. Here we go. Who's in the name? They go in our name, meaning under our authority. We gave these people authority. We're paying their salaries. We're allowing them to live in our lands. We're allowing them to call themselves Americans when, in fact, lock, stock, and barrel, they belong to Judaism, which is Talmudism, which is Satanism. But they run around like wolves in sheep's clothing. On the outside, they dress like you. They speak the same language you do. You assume because they have two arms and two legs that they're just like you. That's because your preacher is not doing his job. What is a preacher supposed to be? The word pastor comes from the same words that mean basically a shepherd. A shepherd. A shepherd does what? He protects the flock. Do these preachers protect the flock today? No, they don't. They're leading the flock to the slaughter. Verse 13, and Yahweh shall make you the head and not the tail. That's an idiomatic expression meaning the greatest and not the least. And you shall be on the top only, and you shall not be beneath. If you will hearken to the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim God, which I command you this day to observe, and to do them. Where have we read? Oh, that's right. It's in the New Testament. Be ye doers of the Logos. Logos is word, but it also means spoken word. And it's where we get our word logic from the Greek language. And you shall not turn aside from any of the commandments which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left hand. And you shall not go after the Gentile, meaning non-white, non-Israelite gods, nor serve them. Then starting at 15 are all the curses, which are just basically the corollaries of what we just talked about. So if you don't obey the Father, okay, now, we just read where all the curses or all the blessings, what they would look like. And there was a time in America when these blessings were very apparent. When I was a boy, most of these blessings still applied to our country. We had not gone over to the dark side quite yet. We had the wolves in sheep's clothing walking amongst us, like Jacob Javits, that little Jewish bastard, and his little henchmen that were infiltrators of our Congress. And they talked the completely pathetic and loser Ted Kennedy to be the goyim face on their legislation that dismantled our immigration policy. And that was in the mid-1960s, so I was only about 12 years old. But I remember reading about it in the papers and even listening to my father talk about what a powerful man this Senator Jacob Javits was. And it's funny that he never mentioned that he was Jewish. I think that's because the corporation that my father worked for was owned by Jews. And occasionally they would take all the supervisors and the engineers out at the plant out for dinner and all that, just to keep them assuaged and keep the idea that they were good guys. But you know, after my father died, they went and basically let all of the plants, and this is Owens Corning fiberglass, they let all of the plants start to deteriorate, and I know that because I had a cousin who was an electrician in the plant in the town where I was a boy, and my dad started working at. And he told me about it, that the layoffs that were coming and the fact that they couldn't get parts and they wouldn't renovate anything, they wouldn't keep up with preventative maintenance. And I said, well, I said, you know what it sounds like? It sounds to me like you guys have been taken over by Jews that are getting ready to dump that business. They're going to run it into the ground. They're going to take as many profits from it as they can. And what they do is then sell it out, piecemeal it out, like so much debris after a pirate ship gets done looting. And he just started chuckling. And I said, what are you chuckling about? And he said, Danny, he said, the plant manager is a Jew. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, he sits in his office and just basically keeps his feet up on the desk and doesn't really do much, and he's a bit of an ass. He goes, and while we're getting laid off and we don't get any pay raises and our benefits are being taken away and all this is going on, he has flowers flown in from Holland for his desk every day. I said, well, there you go, buddy. Now, would a Christian white man do such a thing? I've never seen a Christian white Anglo-Saxon male ever do something as idiotic and spendthrifty and vain as that. Jews, on the other hand, I've seen a lot of that kind of behavior over my 65 years and spending as many hours or man hours in the power plants, because I worked a lot of overtime. I put in a lot of years worth of man hours of work in overtime. So in all those years watching what these non-white people do in the workplace, and particularly what these Jews do, what Scripture talks about here is as plain as the nose on your face. That's exactly how they behave. And you look at our society, you look at America today, and all of the degeneracy that we have allowed to creep in amongst us. Now, we were told that we're the salt of the earth, and Yahweh said that I put you here as the salt for a reason. And what is salt? Salt is a preservative. All through the millennia, salt was used by our people to cure meat and other foods as a way to preserve them without refrigeration. Back before there was refrigeration, salting meat was one of the ways to preserve it. So when he says you're the salt of the earth, that's what he means. You're to preserve. It goes right back to Adam in the garden when he said, I've put you here to keep. That word keep in the Aramaic means to maintain, just like you keep your garden today, or you keep up the maintenance on your house, or you keep up the maintenance on your car. Adam, meaning our ancestors, were put on this earth to maintain order, to bring about and maintain order. So the United States was a great example of what can happen when white men and women who believe in the Christ join together and put their heads together to accomplish something. Great and wonderful things happen, but we couldn't keep it very long. No sooner did the word get back that there were rich resources here and valuables and opportunities to make money, it attracted all of the riffraff, and the number one at the top of the list of the riffraff, of course, is the money-hungry Jew. That's why our founding fathers said, don't let them into this land. Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, and all the rest. In fact, they even debated putting it into the Constitution, an actual clause in the Constitution that the Jew would never be allowed to step foot on this earth, right here, North America, because they had watched what they did to ravage Europe. What happened in Europe? Famine, the Black Plague, which is laid at the doorstep of the Jews. If you read the books of the historians that have looked into it and proven that it was not rats, it was deliberate poisoning of the water supplies, the streams, the wells. In white Europe, it's kind of funny if you look at a map of Europe of where the Black Plague afflicted millions and millions of white people dying. The only place in Europe where there's almost no sign of any harm from the Black Plague was an area near Poland where it was predominantly Jewish. I'm sure that's just a coincidence, though, right? Just a coincidence. I believe the author of the book, and he presents a lot of written testimonies from people back in that day. The lords, the barons of the various city-states of Germany and what would become Germany anyway, and the people in Prussia and different areas of that part of Europe. And they talked about the fact that somebody had warned them and they started tracking it down. And sure enough, they found the bags containing the poisons that had been lowered down into the wells, or they had been left in the along the banks of the creeks that fed the cities and the farms, etc. So the plague was not an accidental thing. It was done on purpose. It's no different than the Jews in modern-day Itzalai when they threw the bodies of the Arabs they had murdered down into their wells to poison the wells there. It's the way they work. See, they don't change. A leopard can't change its spots. They do exactly the same thing. They're contemptible people. They have no respect for life. In fact, the very concept that a baby in a mom's belly is just a blob of material comes right out of the Talmud. The Talmud says you're not a person until you're born from, you have separated from the mother. Now you're a person. Is that Christian? Is that what Christ taught? Is that what your Bible talks about? Of course not. You're a person upon conception. It's got nothing to do with separating from mom. From the moment you were conceived, you are a baby. Abortion is murder. The Jews say it's okay, and since the Jews hold sway because they took over control of the money, they took over control of the media, and with their control of the media, they convinced white people to just shut up that you're not in the, quote, majority. Remember what they did in Russia? Called themselves Bolsheviks, which means majority, were the Jews, led by Trotsky, Lenin, and Karl Marx, etc. Were they the majority? No, not even close. But they called themselves that. So people heard that and went, oh my gosh, that's the majority. Same thing's happening here in America. They take the control of the media, and they wanted you back in the 1920s to think that white women were concerned that they didn't have a vote in elections. White women didn't care back then about voting. Most white women don't care about voting today, the ones I've talked to. When you start talking politics to them, they walk away. I don't want to hear that. I'm not interested in it. But you vote, don't you? Well, that's right. Well, what the hell do you use to judge by who you vote for? When Bill Clinton ran, I had members of my own family admit they voted for him because they thought he was pretty good looking. Yeah, he's evil to the core, but on the screen, he looked pretty nice, so that's why they voted for him. You wonder why the founding fathers didn't want that kind of mentality as part of the election process. Now, for the ladies out there that doesn't fit, I apologize. I'm not trying to cover this with a broad brush, but we're talking in general here. You have to make rules for a society based on general principles. You can't look at the 1 in 10,000 that's the exception. You just can't do that. Our people have never done it in history, and you can't do it today. The general rule is that the average female in this country is either completely ill-informed or just plain doesn't give a shit. That's the facts. Much like many of the minorities that have been given the right to vote. If you go up like Mark Dice and some of these other people in high impact flicks, when he goes out there and interviews people and asks them about pertinent topics, and you just see how woefully ignorant the average person is. Woefully ignorant. The founding fathers realized that many people are going to be that way. It's not really that unusual. A lot of people just want to be left alone. They don't want to get involved with it. They consider it dirty, whatever. But the founding fathers said, well, that's fine. It goes all the way back to Moses. That's fine because government should be local. Most of your government should be local, nothing at the state level and very, very little at the federal level. Most of it's at the county level or even smaller. And why is that? Because that's where you have control. And they also did another thing, and they said, well, the people that will make the decisions then about the county, the city, the state will be the white men, the Adamites that were given the spirit of Yahweh, that have his ability to administrate. They're going to make the decisions, but not all of them. Only those who are free, meaning they have not indentured themselves, free, can prove that they know the Bible, are upstanding in the communities that they come from. The people there agree that they're upstanding. They have to be male, of course, white, we've already covered that, and they have to have property. And why do they have to have property? People say, well, Dan, that's kind of silly. That kind of like limits it just to old white guys that have all the money. Well, no, you got to hear it out. Not necessarily. It's because if you own property, then you're going to be concerned on who holds office. Most of the people who are itinerants or they're renters or whatever don't give a damn. They have no skin in the game. See, the founding fathers were wise, but the founding fathers were also very versed in scripture. So this wisdom and the book of wisdom go back thousands of years. And people say, well, Dan, that's like the Constitution. You know, that's just an old book. And we're progressive, you know. We've come a long way and... we don't really need to go by them old documents that were written by a bunch of old white guys and stuff. We don't really need to go by that. We're smarter than that now. Really? Does that sound like the snake, the serpent, the Nakash in the garden when he was talking to Eve? Isn't that pretty much what he convinced Eve to turn against Yahweh with? You can be a god unto yourself. What's that mean? You can decide what's good and bad. You can decide whether a baby is a fetus or a baby. You can decide if transgenderism and homosexuality is good or bad. And Yahweh's already said what it is. And it's pretty obvious. And people say, well, what do you mean by that, Dan? I said, well, even if you didn't have a Bible, can you show me an example of this kind of behavior in the animal kingdom? Okay? Animals obviously have nothing to do with politics. They don't get involved in politics. They live under Yahweh's perfect law. It's written in their DNA. It's written in their instinctive instructions within the DNA. So they don't have any political correctness to worry about or whether somebody's going to call them a name. They operate by this instruction set that ensured their survival for millennia. Do you see them partaking in such nonsense as that? Of course not. It's ludicrous. It's like my dad told me one time, and it's one of the few times he said anything that I thought was completely ridiculous. He said, well, if God didn't want the races to mix, he wouldn't let them have children. And I said, well, a mule is created when a donkey and a horse mate. And they only do that when man forces the issue. See, man wants to try to play God. And so they create a mule. I said, but isn't it strange how the mule is sterile? Now, if it was ordained by Yahweh, why is it sterile? Why is it that hybrid seeds from your vegetables that you have mixed, the hybrid plants do not have the same nutritional level? Do you know it takes 7 hybrid tomatoes to equal the nutrition in 1 pure heirloom seed organic tomato? Do you think maybe that has anything to do with why so many people are running around with so much weight hanging off of them? They got to eat 5 to 7 times as much calories to get the nutrition they need because they're eating GMO and hybrid produced so-called, they call it food, but it's not really food. Food would give you what you need and allow you to be healthy and trim. And I've proven that. If you eat healthy, 100% organic, your body will go to its natural weight and it'll stay there. I'll guarantee it. If you stop putting the junk, the artificial foods, if you treat your body to what Yahweh intended it to have, your body goes to a natural weight, which is slender. Not skinny, but slender. Fit. It will go there naturally. You don't even have to worry. You don't have to count calories. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Your appetite will naturally decrease because your body will say, okay, I got enough vitamins. Let's see, I got enough minerals. I'll shut down the hunger thing because why should I put the stomach and intestines through all this extra work when I've already got what I need? So go ahead and stop. And I've actually proven this. So people out there that suffer, you suffer because you're being lied to and you haven't had enough sense to figure out who's lying. You haven't had enough initiative to look into these things yourself. That's your problem. And I've got a lot of people that I call friends and family that are in that category. So I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just telling you the facts. Most people today are lazy as hell. It's not just the millennials. It's in my age bracket, above and below as well. They're just lazy. That's how the serpent people, known as Jews, Edom, Esau, whatever name you want to give to them, that's how they crept in here. Even though our founding fathers didn't want them in here, they figured out how to determine who the baser people within our society are. The low moral type people. They have very few morals. They're like today, they're either into child rape or torture or prostitution, you name it. They figure out who they are. And then they figure out how they can get them in a compromising position so they can be blackmailed. Or they'll just simply bribe them. There's some people that are so easy to get to that all you got to do is offer them a bribe and they'll do it. Washington's full of people like that. Full of it. So are most of your state capitals. Just wave a few dollar bills in front of them and they'll literally do anything for you. That's why you have violated Deuteronomy 28, and that is why we're being cursed. Yahweh expects us to be men and women of integrity. He expects us to do the right thing for the right reasons. There is no compromising with the devil. Satan's kids, the Jews, work exactly as Scripture says of Satan himself. If you read every description of the adversary, and that's what Shatan in the Hebrew, which is where Satan comes from, or devil, Diablos in the Greek, it's the same thing. It's an adversary. So what are the Jews adversaries of? They are adversaries of everything that works. They are adversaries of everything that's natural and good and holy and scriptural. They are adversaries to the white race. They hate the white race because we are Jacob. Edom, Esau, lost, and now their descendants, out of vengeance and anger and retribution. A portion of them. Some of them are just other races that have nothing to do with the biblical story at all. They are not interlopers, but they have been grafted into the Jewish branch, so to speak, because it allows them. Why did the Khazar kingdom convert around AD, some people say around 700, somewhere between 700 and 900 AD? Depends on which historian you check out. The Khazar king wanted his people to follow a religious order, so he checked out Mohammedism, Christianity, and Judaism. He picked Judaism because they try to say it's because of where he was located that it was more advantageous. No, he picked Judaism because it literally allowed him to be a despot. It allowed you to be a thief, to lie, cheat, and steal, to sell people into bondage, to do all kinds of hideous things to people. And it was perfectly okay because the Talmud says so. And now rabbis are coming out and saying that very thing, that we, the other races that are not Jewish, we are here to serve the Jew. Your sons and daughters being taken away to these rich people's homes and tied up and tortured, and then their blood drank and their bodies consumed. You think that's done to Jewish children? No, no. They're doing it to your children. It's called blood libel. And if you do a search for blood libel, you'll find that the Jews have been found to be doing this over the centuries numerous times. And numerous times they have been thrown out of nations, city-states, nations, countries, etc. And many of them were burned at the stake when they found the bodies of the children. All right, so this is nothing new. That's what these people do. And they talk some of our people into going along with it. So all this hoopla you're seeing is only because we've become ignorant over time. We've stopped doing research. We stopped questioning. We stopped caring because our preachers, our liars, our prostitutes in those whitewashed sepulchers were telling you these are God's chosen people. You don't even have a right to investigate them. You don't even have a right to point out their errors. You don't even have a right to tell them that they have committed murder in Palestine against the Palestinian people. You don't have a right to question them in any way, shape, or form. Of course, what you don't see is behind the curtain, the Jew back there with a bag full of shekels giving it to your pastor. Not literally, of course, but figuratively through donations, contributions, giving money to the different seminaries, buying books, gifts to the church. They bought their silence. They bought their acquiescence into the big lie. Jews are God's chosen people. Well, they're chosen, all right. Obadiah tells you what they're chosen for. And I think every believer should pray for Obadiah, verse 18, to come sooner rather than later. This poor world can't handle much more of this demented activity. It can't. The people have suffered enough. Our militaries have been used for wars of profit. There's been enough death, enough rape, enough torture, enough thievery, stealing, connivory, espionage, assassination, you name it. Enough already. When are the people that claim to believe in this book called the Bible, when are they going to start living it? That's what I'd like to know. When are you going to start living it? When are you going to start actually believing it? And, you know, the Bible says that a converted soul, there will be a basically a change. They will be a changed person. You will see a change in that person when there is a true conversion, meaning you truly have given your life over to the Christ. You now belong to Yahweh Father. Not only do you belong in this earthly plane, but you belong in the spiritual plane with Father Yahweh. That's when you get the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your counselor and your comforter. And boy, if we don't need that today, dealing with all this garbage. The answer to the problems that plague the world are simple. They're simple. You don't need a PhD. You don't need a science major. You don't need an engineer, a scientist, or any of these other quacks and quislings that are walking around out here working for government agencies proclaiming that they've got the solution. No, they don't. Every solution to every single problem on this earth is simple. It's called trust and obey. All right? It's really quite simple. The problem is we, the people who claim to believe all this, don't do a damn thing except bitch. And Jimmy has in here, we have, I think you wanted to say succumbed here, but your spell checker didn't catch that. We have succumbed to the narrative of go along to get along. Well, folks, I've had enough. Amen to that. And then earlier he said here, since we know all this, why do we sit idly by? And Bubby says right here, for fear of the Jew. Exactly. Exactly. For fear of the Jew. For fear that the Jews will come in and threaten your company. For fear the Jews will bring in the Jew-controlled Justice Department and somehow charge you with something. Or that the Jews in the media will paint you with a anti-Semite brush or a white supremacist brush. I go back to my days in grade school when on the playground, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And I've had that attitude my whole life. You can call me names all day long. I really don't care. You are only demonstrating your ignorance when you do that. I know I've won the debate when you start doing that. So sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Unfortunately, a whole lot of white people don't fit in that category. They're afraid of their own shadows at this point in time. I don't know what happened to the warriors amongst our race. I'm really wondering where the hell they're hiding at this time. Where are the warriors? Where are the men that don't give a damn about politics, press, what women say, feminists, what children say? Men, where in the Bible does it say that we are to sit around and question what we need to do because the ladies might not like it or the children might not like it? Oh, here's one for you. Well, we better not do anything because our enemies might not like it. Well, I would sure the hell hope so. Now, I got one for you to think about here. Do you think these communists that have infiltrated our white nations, do you think they're going to treat you and your families very nicely when they've taken total control? Because right now you're afraid to make a move because you're afraid they might do something to you. What do you think's going to happen when there are no good guys between them and you? When they have disarmed us like they did our Russian cousins and our German cousins? Do you know how many millions of Germans were murdered after the war had already ended that they don't ever talk about? There's a book called Other Losses out there. You should read it sometime. You should read it. I believe it's a Canadian that wrote it. Other Losses. Go read what they did to the German people when the war was over. All at the prodding of communist Jews. Who do you think most of the people on the tribunals at Nuremberg were? Jews. Do you think those German generals and admirals got a fair shake at that courthouse? I would say the answer to that would be about as plain as the nose on your face as to whether you will get justice in the Jewish-controlled courts. Hmm? And I'm going to put up a thought, and then we're going to open up the mic here. And again, nobody wants to be a martyr. Nobody's saying go out there to be a martyr. But at some point, when are the men going to join together with the other men? When are the men going to say, this world is crashing? This world is spinning out of control. We are the men of Jacob Israel. We are Yahweh's bannermen on this earth. You and me, guys, we're it. Don't look around. There is nobody else. Or we would have seen them by now, especially with all this new technology. You would have seen them surface somewhere. So you tell me, where are they if it's not you and me, guys? Whether we like it or not, it's you and me. When are we going to join ranks and say we've had enough of this nonsense? Or don't you believe? Could that be the problem? Could it be the problem? A lack of faith? Maybe that's what Christ meant. When I return, will I find faith upon the earth? Do you think that's what he meant? Our men know what's wrong. Our men know how to fix these problems. Our men are brave enough and strong enough. When we work together, there's nothing we can't accomplish. So why is it that we're sitting here hoping somebody else solves our problems for us? Why is that? Now, I'm still hoping that all of this smoke I see on the horizon is good guys getting ready to take down these wicked and evil people. I really do. Because if they are, then Father Yahweh is directing them. Because we sure as hell haven't had anybody standing up for any righteousness in my lifetime. So I'm still holding out for that. But I'm also aware that it may come down to us guys. It may come down to that. But at the very least, we are going to have to assist these guys in bringing this system down, this New World Order satanic system. We got a guest here, says, Pastor Dan, but I am still unsure because Trump is surrounded by Edomites. Yeah, I know that. I know that. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer is the only thing I can think of. And again, the dust hasn't settled yet. This is still all in turmoil. We're not really sure who's doing what to whom for what reason. All we can see is the smoke. Okay? We see the smoke. We know there's stuff going on. But who's doing it and why is the question. Now, the only people I can account for are the men that I know personally, over the many years of teaching this message that I've run into the salt of the earth men that are out there. I've heard about some through these guys, and then I've had the honor of meeting the very salt of the earth that could fix every one of these problems. I could put a team together of men who could fix every single problem we're talking about. But the people have to support them. The people have to decide who your leaders are going to be. Now, Washington and the New World Order wants you to think that you can only be led by their people. That's funny. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that the righteous will pick their own leaders. The men of Yahweh pick their own commanders, their own leaders, their own pastors. By the way, pastor, leader, and commander, all three come from the same Aramaic word. So the connotation just means a leader of some kind. If it's in politics, it's a If it's military, it's a commander. If it's at the church, it's a pastor. And if it's in civil affairs, it's a civil servant or a leader. But it's the same Aramaic word. It just means somebody who will take the lead, because you have to have a leader, just like we talk about the symbology of the battleship. Why does a battleship, there's sometimes as many as 1,000 crew members on a big battleship or an aircraft carrier, in fact, more than 1,000. But there's only one commander on that ship, one commander. Why? Does it mean that he's better than everybody else? Nope. Does it mean he's stronger than everybody else? Nope. Then why is he the commander? Because the men on that ship have agreed to serve under him. That's why. And the other leaders of the military have agreed that he's good enough to lead and be on that ship. But in the old days, you didn't go on the ship if you didn't have faith in the captain of the ship. Even the pirates had a code of honor such as that. Pirates would not even get on a ship with a captain they didn't trust. Because you have to put your faith in somebody who's going to make decisions. Because decisions need to be made, and then they need to be carried out. It's always been that way. That's why Yahweh's perfect government on earth was a monarchy, a biblical monarchy, where the monarch is elected. He's not a dictator. He's not in there for life, and it doesn't go to his children. That's what the Jew wants you to think about. Go read Stephen Collins's book about the Parthians and the Scythians and the Goths and the Vandals and all the other tribes that were made up of our people all through the centuries, how they elected their kings. They elected their kings. Now, people will always bring up this point. Well, Dan, what about when you get a bad king? You weren't listening, were you? Elected. What happens when you get a bad congressman? What happens when you get a bad senator? What happens when you get a bad president? All right, there's mechanisms in place to depose a wicked king. One of the greatest examples is in Stephen Collins's book about the Parthian Empire, which was made of Israelites, by the way, and they followed the biblical law. Their kingdom was run, their empire was run by biblical law. That's why they were more powerful than the Romans. Isn't that funny? They were more powerful than the Romans, but you never hear about the Parthians. That's because the Satanists want you to look at pagan Rome and not the Israelite kingdom of Parthia. But there's a story in there that when they did get a king one time, they elected a king, and he turned into a Ahab. Wicked. Evil. And the people simply voted him out, and they voted in his brother, who was a righteous man. And do you know what the first act of that righteous man as the new king was? To send out a search party for his brother to execute him, his own brother. And they did. They found him and they executed him. Okay? So yeah, you may get a bad guy in there once in a while, but you have mechanisms in place that he's thrown out. In the meantime, you have a system of governing that is so much more efficient and beneficial to the people. Because just like the battleship, you go and you serve under a captain you think leads the ship correctly. If he becomes a bad captain, you either get off the boat or you get rid of that captain and put a different captain in there. It's not that difficult to figure out. The proof is in the pudding. If you follow this monarch and things are getting better, then you probably made a good choice, huh? Take a look at your parliament over in England. Take a look at the government in Sweden. Take a look at the government in Germany. Take a look at the government in Venezuela. take a look at the government in Canada and the United States. Did we choose wisely? No. You got high treason being committed in all those governments. High treason. And so far, I don't believe I've counted very many of them hanging from yardarms yet. And that's what you do with traitors. You hang them. There's a lot of stuff going on. I've been watching a lot of things. We are very, very close to the changeover in the currency, the money system here. What it's going to do, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, it's not very far away. Not far away at all. If you're paying attention to the markets, if you're paying attention to what's happening over in the in Asia and the BRICS nations, it's close, folks. Declassification of the documents is getting closer every day. There were a lot of good posts today about the spiritual warfare that we're in. This is spiritual warfare, folks. We're in it right now. You're in it right now. You are on, if you believe in the Christ, if you're a identity believer, they've got the crosshairs on you. They being the satanic Jewish cabal and their lapdogs in this country. And that includes most celebrities, entertainers, professional athletes, they're all in there. And I just saw where Taylor Swift showed what a complete dunce that she is. For those that think she's a good singer, well, I feel sorry for you because she's a complete zero as a person. All right? As a person, she's a complete zero. Another brain dead entertainer that ought to just do their entertaining and keep their damn mouth shut. The Jewish Satanists are completely unhinged, as witnessed with Feinstein and Rosenstein and Schumer and the rest of the Talmud thumpers that we got in here, just saying some of the most completely brain-dead things that are imaginable. But they know this is for all the marbles. They know that Obadiah 18 is a prophet. Obadiah is a prophet, and that's a prophecy that will come true. It will come true. When the world wakes up to what these people have done, there will be no safe place for them. I'm telling you that right now. There will be no safe place for them to hide. The only reason they're able to even walk the streets right now is because you haven't been told all of the things that they have done. They've already done enough to deserve to be hung with their treason. But when you learn what they've done to your children, to your daughters, to the innocent people of this earth, what they've done to your food, what they've done, what they've put in the vaccines, the corporate farms, and what you're consuming on a daily basis, and sometimes there's human DNA showing up in these foods, you people need to wake the hell up. You know that? You really do. You really do. I just saw an article where Belarus is going to arm every man, woman, and even the elderly that are able to shoot because of their seeing what's on the horizon, and they're going to follow Switzerland, where they arm all able-bodied men in Switzerland. Every man, young man, I should say, every young man in Switzerland must serve in the military for 3 years. Mandatory. But here's the thing. When they get out, they take their military weapon home with them. And the government supplies them a lifetime of ammunition. How about that? So that they can stay proficient. So their entire population is their army. That's exactly what our founding fathers wanted in this nation, and that is why the militia is a constitutional organization. Every able-bodied man is a citizen soldier in the United States of America. And the government's duty is that surplus arms from the military go to the civilian soldiers so that they have military-grade weapons. And if they stop giving us military-grade weapons, that's a sign of treason. Just telling you. Time to get off the fence. Yahweh's making that fence razor sharp at this time. It's time to get off of it, people. I hope you understand the seriousness of the times we live in. I really, really do. Okay, I'm going to bring Jimmy on here. Jimmy, welcome to the program, buddy.
Oh, Dan. You know, and thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure. And before I get off on my rant, I want to say prayers for my brethren to my north. I'm in Tampa, and we received very minimal squalls and wind, but our brothers and sisters in the panhandle of the state and up in now Georgia, we need to say our prayers for them, and hopefully when you close, sir, you would include them, because it is very, very, very catastrophic as to what is going on up there. And as you know, Dan, I keep notes. I'm a tech guy, but I also love my legal pads and my pens, and I always take notes during your open monologue so that I can comment. And I just stopped writing because we know, the folks listening to our voices right now and in my audience and even the folks that I talk to in my profession each day, we know that people are breaking in our homes at night and raping our daughters and our sons, for that matter. And we still sit idle. And when we do speak out or step out, I'm a prime example, and I won't go into that, of step back in line, boy, or we're going to arrest you, or we're going to hem you up on charges that I know you can beat, but at the end of the 2 years, your reputation is wrecked. Look at Kavanaugh, same thing. What was it? Harvard came out. He's not welcome here. Ladies and gentlemen, without making so many examples, I have had enough of this. I've been patient. I still remain to be patient because of my fatherly guidance. But Dan, it's getting damn difficult to not address the problem. Seriously, you were in nuclear. If you saw a meltdown coming, wouldn't you take countermeasures and invoke the countermeasures that were designed into your plant? Wouldn't you? You would, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It would it would be unconscionable not to try to stop it.
Well, but see, there you just said it. What is going on, and what we, the people, the employers of these absolutely out-of-control criminals in our upper-level governments and, frankly, local governments, we are allowing it to happen for several reasons. One is, as I put in your chat room, you know, go along to get along, or, you know, I'm too busy, and I don't want to jeopardize my wife's job, and I don't want to jeopardize the income I have because I have two sons or daughters. I have a house payment to make, and you know, and I'm living paycheck to paycheck, or I'm gonna give my kids a good Christmas and go into $5,000 financial debt on my credit card. People, seriously, not only from a financial point of view, but Dan, seriously. We have been given the tools to have averted this long ago. Long ago. Hillary, Uranium One. My God, I won't eat up my airtime. But even the Bundy case, that was Harry Reid and Rory Reid. It was a land grab under the guidance and tutelage of Hillary Clinton to grab that land. How much more do we need to know that that is a criminal, treasonous act? How much? And the question becomes, sir, we have the power as the people to offset that. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this, but I don't have the power to do it by myself. But it is time for us to take Maxine Waters' advice and stand up and get in their faces, period. And, you know, you might want to say, well, you know, I'll engage the power of my sheriff. They're all corrupt. Even in my North County, the sheriff I used to love to death in the recent 6 months, he's gone left, threatening people with this, that, and the other. And yesterday there was something going on, and he said, hey, we've got cold, hard cash for you if you just call the tip line. And what kind of bullshit comment is that? Excuse me? What kind of comment is that? What have we allowed ourselves to become, Dan and listeners? What?
Well, it happens when we have no standards. We allowed these interlopers to come in here and convince us that we were wrong to have standards.
Through normalcy bias and perceived trust. Okay, I suffered from that for that very reason. Now, it's off the table. Now, I look at law. I look at countermeasures. We have... And there's been a lot of people trying this. You know, the People's Grand Jury, Ron Rack up there in Ocala a couple years ago. I helped him. We had a citizen's arrest prepared for two city councilmen that got seated with no surety bond. And he was taken away. He was escorted out. And I've said this on your show before. And Rusty, I'll just nickname him that, the bailiff, he said, look, Ron, I know you're right, but I'm 2 weeks to retirement, and I'm moving to Montana. These people are criminals. Why didn't Rusty stand up? Well, you know why. Because he would have lost his pension, his retirement, his awards, and all this good standing. Folks, let me tell you something. If you have awards and good standing and pensions, God bless you. But it's not going to mean jack crap in 2 to 6 to 4 months or weeks, folks. And I'm not inciting violence, Pastor Dan. I'm not. But the pot is beyond boiling. And, you know, I talked to you, and I had an encounter with a scumbag attorney today, really. And that's kind of why I'm fired up tonight, because this gal is just a scumbag. And I'll leave it at that. Mexican, by the way, Beaner. But to that end, common sense, Dan, you said it, I'm looking down my show notes here, we have been given every tool to march along in this God-given country and all prosper and respect each other and help those that don't get it or help those that fell down. Hell, I've been down in my life. Any entrepreneur that is successful that says they've never fallen down is a liar. They're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, respect, brethren, leave a little bit. My dad taught me, Jim, leave a little bit on the table because it'll come back to you, and that might nourish someone else. I mean, all this, like you said, Dan, this is not rocket science. We spend more time trying to screw each other over than if we just got along, seriously got along, and helped each other and kept the wavelengths. See, I even said in your chat room, I said, Dan, be careful because I'm fired up. But, Dan, I've had it with this. And maybe I'm not giving up, and I'll yield after this. I'm not giving up. But maybe I'm getting extremely frustrated at the very end of our winning game. And I know you pulled me off the clutches, and I was teasing. I'm chewing the air screen off my microphone, which I have several. I did, and I put a new one on. But at the end of the day, Dan, what do we do here? How long, and I promise I'll yield after this, how long do we let this charade go on? And if the answer is last week, Jim or Jimmy, what is it that we can legally and respectfully do? Because what we're doing, sir, is not working. It isn't. And I yield.
Well, I digress to what the Q Post has said all along, that we the people are the we're the real assets of the country. Our natural resources and the people. Those are the actual value of any country, not their money system. The money system could be made up of sticks, or there have been civilizations, and even the Romans at one time used salt, and sometimes even garlic was money. Anything
well, wasn't
can be.
There, Dan, real quick, wasn't there like a money stick or something where you would get the money stick and then they'd carve out?
It was tally sticks.
Tally stick, thank you, yes.
Yeah, the King of England had a currency crisis, and he told the Treasury to issue tally sticks to the people of England. And what they were basically was fancy sticks of wood that were broken in such a way that the only two sticks that would match were the two originals. No other stick that was broken would match that crack. And so one tally stick stayed in the treasury. The other half was issued as currency. And the only way, the way you do that is the king said, that tally stick is what you're going to use to pay your taxes. Well, as soon as you say that, that becomes currency, because everybody owes a tax to the king, and so they're going to want tally sticks. So you've instantly created your currency, and it worked well, for a time. Right now, Ithaca, New York, is using Ithaca hours. They've been doing it for decades. They've proven that you can use anything. They generate their own Ithaca hour certificates for the local economy, and it's worked very well. 50 other communities in the United States, at least 50, it's probably more by now, are doing the exact same thing. I know state governments have looked into the issuance of their own currencies in the last 5 years. So there are people with enough sense to know that things aren't looking real good.
Well, Dan, I'm getting a question in my chat room. Could you elaborate a little bit on Ithaca hours for us?
Well, what Ithaca, New York, and they're really great people. I contacted them when I first heard about this like 15 years ago, 16 years ago. And they sent me a whole beginner's kit, and they sent me a sample of an Ithaca hour and how they did it. Basically, what they did as a community, they said, look, we can't trust the Federal Reserve and the bogus money system. So what we're going to do to keep us isolated from that system here locally is we're going to issue Ithaca hours to the people. And an Ithaca hour was like a bill, let's say, bigger than a dollar, but it was similar. And it was printed up as an Ithaca hour, and an Ithaca hour was basically worth the 1 hour's labor for a middle class, let's say, electrician or a plumber, and we'll just pick like $15 an hour for the hell of it. So one Ithaca hour would buy you $15 equivalently of something, whatever, groceries, a haircut, a car wash, whatever. And the people got to use them, and they quickly figured out the mean value of them and how they traded them between each other, to where they had a robust local economy between the farmers and the people in the town. It worked, and it still works to this day. And every time we've had a bust, like in 2008 under the Federal Reserve System, the local economy and Ithaca ran fine. They had absolutely no problem whatsoever. They're like the Amish. The Amish don't care if the Federal Reserve lives or dies.
Right. Well, Dan, would that not be, because back in the early 2000s, I belonged to barter clubs, and a lot of us did, and that's kind of what you're suggesting, except you have some type of coupon. So for me to earn an hour, I would have to give you some type of service. And then you would then, I mean, how would one get an Ithaca hour, and how would one accumulate, and then how would we, I know this is kind of rhetorical, but just like to the tally stick, there has to be a way for the tally stick to be issued and then managed, much like the Ithaca hour. And how would I earn Ithaca hours? Who's the keeper of said? And then how would I negotiate said Ithaca coupon with you? But it doesn't go down to barter. It's like, you know, back in the day, even the I love the movie The Big Fat Greek Wedding, you know, when the little girl was in college, or actually in elementary school. So if Paul Zaraeus has two goats and marries you, how many goats will you get? It's a value system. It's a matter of, I trade you two goats for two sheep or something, which is back to barter, back to wampum in the old Indian days, right?
Right, and Ithaca solved the problem, because what they did is, when they initially, everybody at the town agreed to this, and they issued the Ithaca hours out to all the participating businesses and farmers and people in the community. They started out with, let's say, $300, some figure. And they just issued. Everybody got the same amount. And then they just started using
it. So if I work for you as a farmer for 8 hours a day or what have you, then you would then pay me in Ithaca hours. And since it was negotiable, I could go to the general store and buy flour, salt, wheat, or get a haircut, as you say, or in modern day, buy a car wash. So the employers, I mean, there has to be a way to start that value system through trust of, I'm with you. Go ahead,
sir. And they work with you. They'll work with you. They were really, really good people. There's a phone number, email for them, and when I contacted them, they were anxious to help in any way they could. So it really wouldn't take that much. And like I said, there's 50 other communities in America that I know of that were all doing the exact same thing based on what Ithaca was doing. It works. It can't fail. It's just a barter system. And again, it's just like the libertarians say, all government should be local. Moses in the Bible said the same thing. You keep it at the local level, because that's really where everything belongs, at the local level. It's when you get to big corporations and big centralized government, big centralized banking, it gets corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. You keep it at the local level where you can manage it and watch it, because you know everybody. Everybody knows everybody. So
if somebody ends up with
1,000 Ithaca hours all of a sudden, they'll know they stole it. There's no
I'll just pick Feinstein out of the pot, $180,000 a year, and she's worth billions of dollars. Help me do the math, and I won't take up our time. Same with Maxine. Same with John McCain. Same with all of them.
They're all dirty.
If you guys can tell me how to spin a $200,000 a year salary into being worth millions or billions in 3 to 5 years, I'm open to it. But let me circle back, Dan. Thanks for the time, and thanks for the chance to kind of vet out here and let people hear. At the end of the exercise, we're in deep, deep, deep trouble. We are. We are as a nation. I do stand behind Trump. I have leaned off the fence to the 51% on Q to make that public announcement. Nikki Haley resigned. That was a huge surprise. But then I'm told that, well, you know, she told Trump 6 months ago that she was going to go spend time with friends and family, and then it came out and she lied. I'm not going to, you know, be running for public office. I'm going to support this guy. Dan, and excuse my French, but it is Wednesday night, not Sunday morning. When are we going to have enough of the bullshit that they're shoveling in our faces to stand up and say, enough, enough? What is the process, Dan? What is it? It's got to be there.
Well, it's there the same as the Founding Fathers in 1775. And I've read what John Adams said, without the pen of the author of Common Sense, the sword of Washington would have been raised in vain. And that's what we're doing right now. We're raising the consciousness of the people to let them know that the things that they have trusted have lied to them. The government, the medical mafia, the institutions for learning, the clergy, they've all lied. The media have lied. So the people have to become aware that they've been lied to. Then they have to care about the truth, as Bill Holter says. When the truth matters, America will change.
Are we running out of time, Commander Dan?
We'll have time.
Okay. Well, I'll yield.
You're doing what you were given to do. I'm doing what I can do. Yahweh does not expect us to walk out in the street and become a martyr. That you can't do it that way. The walls of Jericho came down because Joshua gave the orders, and what happened? The men did what he said. It's the grassroots Americans have to have decided they've had enough. We've got guys like you and the men I know, myself, all sitting here. We know the answers to the problems, but we can't fix it if the people aren't going to go along with what we say. If the people aren't demanding that change come, let's face it, if they did, you know people that could form a grand jury. You know sheriffs that if it turned around and the people rose up and said, by God, you better do your constitutional duty or we'll get rid of your ass. You know sheriffs that would turn around. All right? Same thing with every other position.
I do, Dan. Yes.
Okay,
But the problem is
we don't have quite enough people that are angry enough to get off their ass and turn their television off and get involved. Not quite yet. We're getting there, though. Trump was a movement. Trump himself is not the important thing. What Trump showed us by the American people who rose up to defend Trump, to ensure that there was no dilly-dallying at the voting booths, etc., or during the campaign trail when the liberals said they were going to disrupt them, just like up in Cleveland, what happened? Men got on their motorcycles by the thousands and drove to Cleveland and said, if they cause any trouble, we'll put an end to it. Your answer. When the people
let me parallel.
I've had enough.
Let me parallel because I see again all this, and I like to say this, Justice Kavanaugh. I mean, look at the charade, ladies and gentlemen, on our fine, intelligent country, and I say that with tongue in cheek, but we seated Justice Kavanaugh. Now, Dan, was that a charade? Was that, my God, that's a whole nother ant farm of holes. But we have Justice Kavanaugh on the bench. Now, I'm not suggesting that I agree with Justice Kavanaugh on every issue, but I am convinced that God above, our Yeshua, made it possible for Trump. I mean, my God, look at the statistics. How in the world did Donald Trump get elected? How? Was that a divine intervention? Or was that a part of the plan? And I have to look at all, as an engineer, all things. Is the entire charade to include Justice Kavanaugh's situation, this Ford character, the two attorneys that had found it that they had to tell her how to stand up and raise her hand and frankly teach her how to stir coffee creamer or whatever the hell it was, and then frankly the other female attorney went ahead and did it for her. She now has ties to Clinton Foundation. I mean, Dan, again, our group is so on top of the relevance that it just pains me, Dan, that somebody in a higher place, and I don't mean Yeshua, I mean to include sheriffs and sergeant of arms. The sergeant of arms in Washington, D.C., which is a personal friend of my retired friend, and without saying too much, I think that person is not doing their duty in fear of losing their job and their sexy title and or their pension. When are the men of this country and the ladies that are charged in higher positions going to wake up tomorrow? I pray to Yeshua each night that I wake up tomorrow morning, Dan, and either I get a knock on my door to come help, or somebody else in higher places has heard our voices and they took care of it because they have more authorization than we have. I'm here. Come knock on my door at 3 in the morning. If you're a good guy and you need my help, I'm 5 minutes out of bed and I'm in. I'm in, armed with everything I need. But at the end of the day, Dan, and I promise I'll yield after this, I've had enough of this. I think the American people, if they really, truly woke up, have had enough of this. All this charade. Now, you know, oh, the Democrats are going to try to impeach Kavanaugh. Why are we killing ourselves as a country? My God, we are spending more time killing ourselves than becoming prosperous. Wake up, people. This is basic. The stock market, Dan, I posted in your chat room, and my friend, Jim, 500 points down, or actually he said 300 points down, then 400. We closed the market today at 830-some and change. I put it in your chat room. What is that saying? What is that one indicator, Commander Dan, saying? And anyone that wants to bullshit me on, oh, it's just a correction, I'm gonna frankly call bullcrap.
Right.
Bullcrap. And I think I made my point, so I'm gonna yield, Dan. Thank you for letting me kind of blow some steam off here.
Well, it is frustrating. You're not alone. Trust me. I field phone calls every single day. Answer emails every single day by men and women who are in exactly the same spot we're in right now. They're awake. They've studied the issues. They know the problem. They've got a handle on the solutions, and they are wondering what are we waiting for? I can't answer at all. What I'm seeing is that there's enough things happening, and again, this could be a ruse. I'm not saying it's not, but there are enough things happening that I believe that the righteous should be standing in standby for just a little bit longer to see what comes out of this, to see if it is good guys going to do the right thing. We know what the right thing to do is. We're just going to watch and see. If they don't do it, then the gloves come off, because the rule of law is over. If these guys don't follow through with what they've said in the very near future, and we don't see the perpetrators' heads literally roll, if that does not happen, the rule of law in America is over. So take that for whatever you think it means. The rule of law is over. You have a country run by traitors. Because
well,
the treason's
Dan,
been going on for a long time.
let me interject two things. One is, I fully agree. I'm a patient man, and I do see progress on certain fronts. But when I see videotape out of Oregon and Seattle, where we have protesters that are taking over and directing traffic, and if I don't turn my car in the direction that they want me to, they are physically attacking me, and I'm being third party, and I see the police motorcycles sitting and ignoring it, Dan. How far do we let this go? And really, to circle back to the, and I don't expect you to have a crystal ball. We're having a discussion. How far do we let this go, Dan?
Well, you
and
get,
I'm willing to be patient, but how far?
There's an old saying, you get as much tyranny as you accept. And that's the problem. The American people have gotten into this acceptance of tyranny, and that's got to end. Let's just say, for instance, one of us became the monarch. Just for the hell of it, I'll say I was the monarch. Okay, how easy would it be to fix the problems? Well, first of all, the only legitimate purpose of anybody...
I hope you give me a call and you need a wingman, Dan, because I would be honored
well,
with that.
Well, of course.
But go ahead, sir, yeah.
But here's the thing. The person... Well, I started to say the only legitimate purpose of government is to make sure that the playing field, meaning the economy, the conduction of day-to-day life, is done in a fair and a level playing field and done fairly. That's all. They're to stay out of the way. The people know how to fix and run everything. They really don't need much help. Our job is only to make sure it runs fairly according to our agreed-upon laws. Okay, so now I become monarch, and I enlist like Michael and Jay and you and Phil and Ron up there in Pennsylvania, and the guy, and I know many, many other guys, Kent over in Maryland, many guys, most of them veterans, but a lot of guys with a lot of experience, and I give them a job, and they go into every state, and they are an ombudsman. And anybody that knows what an ombudsman is they take feedback from the people. And their job is to go to an area like you just talked about, and you find out that the local people said, wait a minute, you know what the cops did here? They stood by and watched these Antifa people pulling people out of cars and beating them up, and they didn't do a damn thing. He brings that back to the council, back at the headquarters, and we issue a decree that those officers are to be put on trial. There is a warrant to be put out for those police officers that they will stand in front of a tribunal and they will give an answering as to why they did not do their jobs. And if they're found guilty, then they will be punished accordingly as to whatever the jury and the tribunal come up with. As soon as that word gets out there that there's a new chief in town and he's going to make sure that the playing field is level and that all corruption will be dealt with swiftly and severely amongst the public servants. You want to be a public servant? Okay. You get elected by the people, but as the monarch and the monarch's privy council, we're going to be watching you. We're not going to be watching the people. That's what the local sheriff and the local police department's for. We're going to be watching you, public servants. We're going to be watching you. And when we hear that you have committed a crime, we're going to send our people who have more authority into your state, into your county, and we're going to find out what the hell's going on. Well, once that happens, things turn around. The citizen soldiers
Hold that thought. And, you know, I watched the 3 or 4 videos, and this gentleman appeared to be in his 70s. He had a nice, you know, Chevy Impala or something. And, you know, he was like us and said, I'm not going to listen to you. And then the thugs came over, and they started beating up his car. And he did a U-turn, and he did clip one of them. And all of a sudden, get his license plate. Well, he fled the group about a half a block, and then the guy got out. So I talked to my retired Secret Service guy, which is, quote unquote, I refer to him as my friend, and I said, friend, if that was me, and I'll say this to my listeners out there, and Dan, your listeners, I would have gotten out of that car, being a concealed carry permit, and I would have opened fire on the one scumbag that was really leading it, but being an engineer and looking at loss mitigation and outcome, I may have taken out the scumbag, but I probably would be dead, or I would now be in county jail facing manslaughter, felony, murder, whatever. And the police were right there. See, Dan, where's the threshold?
Well,
and
again,
is that their plan? Is that their plan? That's a rhetorical question. We know damn well they want to agitate me. They want to agitate you. They want to get me to speak out. And, you know, I had a little encounter and was told to keep it down on my radio shows. But I'll tell you what, Dan, and I'll close with this for this little rant. Go watch the video. There's this fat-ass woman. Excuse me, ladies. Well, I told you to turn. You just need to turn your car. And the gentleman's like, well, who are you? Well, I'm this and that, and if you don't turn. Dan, if I saw that in downtown Tampa or even at the end of my street and these people are surrounding my cars, I am here to tell you there will be dead people. There will be dead people. I will run them down. I will reach in my crack of my ass. And by the way, I'm with you. I've always been a lean, mean guy. My body is always metabolized to the point. You've met me a couple times. I eat right. And that's back to the show notes we talked about at the top of the hour. But at the end of the day, you're not going to surround my car as a group of anybody, and expect me to turn the way you want me to turn and stand in front of my car. I will run your ass down. I will. And if you attack my car or come at my window, I will drop your ass dead. That's my right. Threatening my life. The
media wants us to believe that any acts of self-defense will be immediately put upon by the New World Order forces, the police state, and your life will be ruined and everything else. But there's also...
I've seen that, Dan.
The point of it is, that there's also cases where that didn't happen. It's all up to the juries. It's all up to the local people.
Local prosecutor, sir.
It's up to lots of people. The thing of it is, Americans have been led into a stupor where they're believing the Talmudic law to be the law of the land rather than our own Christian Bibles and the Constitution. And they got to get their heads out of their rectums and see the light of day and understand that that's just not true. And when the people finally get out of there, then that things are going to change. And that's already starting to happen. Trump's election proved to me that there are a very large number of moral Americans who are outraged at what they see happening. In 2009, when I went to the Tea Party rally in Washington, D.C. with my family, we were there with 2 million people in downtown around the White House and Capitol. 2 million. And that was an epiphany. We knew right then and there America had had enough. And I think Washington knew, because it was right after that Tea Party rally that I started hearing about military tribunals and a military coup in this country. Because that told the military guys that the American people like them, that they were fed up with the way this country's going. And I think,
I do not disagree with you, and I am here for solutions, but this was as recent as yesterday, And I predict that we will see this escalate, especially if the American people vote in a Democratic control House and Senate. We're fucked.
No,
we're,
that's not.
We're,
well, that's not
we're
happen.
Screwed.
That's not.
Well,
happen.
I pray not. But no. When I see on our streets in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, where the police and the mayor, they're lawless, Dan. And okay, so what am I supposed to do? As a 70? I'm going to put him about 70. I mean, he was in pretty good health, and he did get out of his car. But I would put the man at 60 to 70, and I think more so in the later years of 60. And he got out as a trooper, but then he saw that he was, about to be beat to death, and he got back in his car, and his car was damaged. And if he would have done what I suggested, what I would have done, he would probably right now be in a jail cell. Okay, for vehicular manslaughter or vehicular assault. I mean, I kind of work in the legal world, so I could imagine what the charges would be. But at the end of the exercise, Dan, I don't mean to rain on your solace, because I'm right there with you, brother. I'm right there with you till we both go down in flames. I am your wingman. But at the end of the day, my point is, this is getting way out of control in the streets, and I'll tell you, I'm not a betting man, but I would bet tomorrow's cup of coffee that my example of what happened up there in the northwest of our country, which is whacked out anyway, is going to come to a street near all of us. And I think that is the plan. They want us to self-destruct each other. So, okay, all right, Jim, if you're correct, then just be a pacifist. Well, if I'm out in traffic and I got these degenerates, I'm not going to bow and turn my car and let them obstruct my way. I'm going to mow them down, Dan, and I'm going to shoot them down. I will. It's my right. Don't lay charges on me for something that is illegal and beyond the realm of free speech or protesting. Don't even lay that on me.
Well,
and see, that's where they turn the word, sir. Yeah.
As good men decide to get involved, things are going to change. Just like in Cleveland, when Trump went to Cleveland, guess what? Antifa didn't show up. There wasn't anybody from Antifa there.
Because they're of all, pussies.
Well,
yeah.
because the men, predominantly white men, veterans, got on their motorcycles and showed up. That's all they had to do was show up. It's just like with weapons. All of the people I know personally, these are personal friends of mine, that have ever had to pull a weapon, not one of them had to fire it. All they had to do
was
pull the weapon.
See, if I pull my weapon, Pastor Dan, if I pull my weapon, and I'm trained, if I pull my weapon, it's being shot, and I will make that decision. It's not a threat. I don't fire a warning shot, and I'm in total mental control. If I pull my weapon and level it at you, you're going down. Period.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody has to make that choice. Lane in Texas here said discretion is the best part of valor. Just turn 180 degrees and leave. Pick your fights when you have the edge. Don't go into a trap. And,
well, thank you, Lane, but you know what? I have done that for years, and I am a pacifist. I'm not here tonight, even though I'm a little wound up. I'm not here to be a badass, but I've had enough. I've had enough. I've
well, again,
had enough. I'm not going to turn my cheek any longer. And I know that's against biblical. I know.
No.
I know.
Not against
but
biblical.
I am not going to turn my cheek. I've had enough. And closing on my rant, if we let this encroach any further, ladies and gentlemen, we're signing our own
death warrant. We are. The communists will not go lightly on us. Just look what they did to the Russians, the Ukrainians, and look what the communists in China did to the Chinese, okay? Many, many, many millions of innocent people were literally tortured and murdered by these regimes. They'll do the exact same thing here. So that's why I said, people that think that they're going to get out of this thing without getting involved, you're crazy. You're going to get involved.
Well, and real quick, Dan, let's look at what came out, and this is also in my wheelhouse, and I've dissected a couple of computer boards and older iPhone 5s. I found the chip that they're discussing.
The one made in China?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it is a leadless pack on the board. I've got photographs. And others have already done this, so I'm not taking any credit for this. But for your viewers, you know, I got a pretty nice lab here. And I found it. And this thing is a three-pronged leadless chip on the board. And it does not show up in my tech manuals as a potential issue that I should look at for repair of said circuit board. So then I took, you know, I've got a bunch of Dells here, and I've got dead motherboards coming out my ass. So I took one out, and I put it under the, I've got a, you know, a nice magnifying lamp, and then I actually have a microscope that I can videotape that will allow me to teach people. And I zoomed in, and it's the same damn part number. It is a three-prong chip. It has no business in the circuitry whatsoever. So there again, folks, you should be pissed off. And I fully agree. I had McAfee on my show. I fully agree, and I also have old cell phones that are not on wireless networks, and they all went off on this purported presidential thing. And I won't go too far down the trail, but at the end of the day, there's a voyeurism law. If I put a camera in the ladies' room of my office, I'm going to jail. Not only will Yahweh send me to hell, but that's what they've done. They are voyeurizing us with our you know, oh, I can, and I certainly don't participate in the Internet of Things, even though I'm a techie. Why in the hell would I go to the grocery store and query my refrigerator, Dan? What do I need? Get off your lazy ass before you go to the store. I need milk, I need eggs, but it's so convenient.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And the road to hell is paved with convenience. So the devil gets you to agree to what he wants you to do by just simply telling you that it's a good intention or it's a convenience to you. And most people will buy it. Most people will.
Oh, it's for your protection, Dan. It's, well, you know, and real quick, and I got into an argument with, I forget what vendor it was, and we need you to do this, that, and the other. Well, really, why? Oh, well, it's for your protection. I'm like, well, you know, and I won't say on the air what I really ultimately said, but because it's, you know, it's me being a single guy, but who in the hell are you to even say this to me and then have me trust you that you're protecting me? Who? How many websites do we all go to now where it says, you know, blah, 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 website, it wants to track your location, allow or block. That's their newest thing. Or even a lot of news sites. Our site uses cookies. Agree here. What the hell is up with that? Seriously, have you seen that, Dan? You have got to have seen that. Dan, what do you mean you want to track my location? Well, it's for your protection. My protection against who? Who?
Well,
my daddy and mommy told me at age 6 there's no fucking Santa Claus and there's no boogeyman under my bed. And I'm sorry about the F-bomb. I'm sick of these people, Dan, and I yield.
Well, it's like everything else. They get you hooked on something like these cell phones. Next thing you know, the apps are generally non-invasive, etc. They get you used to them. And then they start closing in the corral around you. It's like, you know, the old story about how do you get the sheep into a corral? Well, you just go to the pasture field where they're grazing and you just start putting sections up slowly around them. They don't notice. Well, the sheep, the people, don't notice that they're slowly being corralled by this technology, and they invite it into their own home. There's quite a few guys now putting out there that this stuff is not written in stone, folks.
Oh, it's like the Amazon Dot, and, you know, and who is it, Liza or Lisa or whatever, and I told you, I got a video out there where I had two cell phones fighting with each other on their AI, but... Listen, Dan, I'm a techie guy. I told you I have 3 patents in early SMS. I've been a techie guy. But you will not find anywhere in my facility a Amazon Dot. I do not need to walk in my house and say, Liza or whatever the hell her name is, turn up my air conditioning to 70 and turn on Channel 9 on my TV. You are a lazy piece of shit and stupid if you even have that technology in your house. Now, I do have, for my work, I do have an iPad and an iPhone. I did cover the cameras during the supposed presidential test because I have good, credible information that everyone that said, okay, and they cleared it, they got their picture taken based upon their location and the IMEI and the phone number assigned to that phone, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can bust them, and see, I'm trying to rally some attorneys that will help me sue the piss out of these people, and I'm not going to do it for money. I'm going to do it to shut them down. And frankly, even with all my contacts in the legal community, I can't find a one. And I think it's because they don't have a clue what I'm talking about, to be honest. I'm serious. But
well,
I am on a mission to shut Google. Google, and Google screwed with me right before I took you live because I played Fight the Good Fight by Triumph. Right before your show, and they took me off air, but I have a back door, and we're back on air. That's where, you know, I do miss Ustream because I didn't have to really worry about that too much, but my RTMP servers are about to come online to where we can broadcast on my computers across our internet. And I've said this to you off air, the only people that can shut me down is my internet provider. And if they do that, it's no different than my water company shutting me down because they don't like the coffee that I'm making with their water. But I am on a mission. I'm pissed. I've had enough. I'm not going to do anything stupid or violent. I'm not looking to be a martyr. But let me tell you something in closing. I get one of these assholes or these asshole groups that get in front of my car and tell me I can't make my way down a public road that I indirectly pay for, I will mow them down with my car, and I will be shooting at them with my .45 and my AK-47, and I will take my lumps after the bodies are taken home. And with that, sir, I yield.
Well, it's a that's a personal choice, and the common law is that, you know, if you feel threatened, you have a right to defend yourself. So it gets down to what a jury thinks is the right thing, whether they believe
well,
you.
Yeah,
or believe
Dan.
You have a challenge.
Well, yeah, but so, see, here's the rub, brother. Let's say I do that. And I pray to God that never happens. But you say a jury. Okay, that's going to be 2 years down the road. Okay, and if I'm found innocent, the prosecutor is going to appeal. That's another 3 to 5 years down the road. In the meantime, my life is wrecked. Wrecked. Not only in reputation with my professional group, but the war fund to hire criminal attorneys. Those people are $600, $800, $900 an hour. Well, and now I have to play their stupid game. Then I have to post, you know, this one guy that made one comment on Facebook. He is now in jail. They raided his house. They ransacked his house. They took his computers, everything. He is still today, and this is 20 miles north of me, by the way, in jail on a $500,000 bond with 3 felony counts, first-degree felony counts, with more charges pending. Dan, that's ridiculous.
It's out of control.
Well, what do we do about it?
Well, it's the guys that could fix this problem have to have the people demand it be fixed. Right now, they're comfortable slaves who enjoy the torment of the tyrant. What's it going to take to get people that want liberty and want this to end, and they will support the people that will actually end it? When will they be tired of liars and deceivers going through the motions, but nothing ever gets fixed? When they have had enough, Father says, I have the men who will lead you out of this, but you have to decide to cross the Red Sea. You have to get down in there and cross. You have to decide you've had enough. Enough so that you will follow the leaders that Father Yahweh puts out there for you. That's been the rub. They want to keep a foot in Babylon and a foot on the Red Sea with Yahweh. You can't do that. Yahshua told us you can't serve two masters. Our people are double-minded. They think they can serve Babylon and serve the living God at the same time. You can't do it. And that's the problem. When our people finally say, I've had enough of this tyranny, I want Yahweh's law and I want Yahweh's leader to lead me against this, then we will have the victory. We have the leaders, we have the knowledge, but the people are enjoying their bondage under Pharaoh because Pharaoh is giving them iPhones, Pharaoh's giving them entertainment, Pharaoh's giving them drugs, alcohol, sports, nudity, perversions, and the people love it. That's the problem.
Hey, Dan, you know, and again, I do not view or visit porn sites, but in my line of work, in keeping my cloud service and network integrity, I have knowledge of the number of hits that, like, X-Hamster and Pornhub and all these, Dan, it is in the billions of hits every day. Every day. Now, what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Well,
I'm serious now. I lost my temp. I love a good warm girl in my bed. And frankly, I'm going to say this too. I miss my Kim. I do miss my Kim. But it's going to be a cold day in hell before another woman even comes into my life, not to mention my bedroom. It is that dangerous out there, which is another reason I'm fired up. I think by design, we were supposed to have a companion. And I can't say enough, but I'm just going to take 15 seconds. I lost the best woman on the planet, Dan. She was my business partner, if you will. We hired at the law firm. She was a great researcher. I'm looking over at her microphone right now, mm-hmm. next to me, her chair. I haven't touched her personal effects. Her Bible's still on the nightstand. Her clothes are still in the closet. Some people say I need to get past it. But I don't think there's a woman on this planet, unless our Father above has her knock on my door. I don't trust women anymore, as far as I can throw them. And I'm not a rich man, but I got a couple bucks. I have a nice house. I have a nice car. I have a good career. And I'm a perfect target for that mistake. And one Saturday night in the sack, by Monday morning, I could be facing who knows. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Saturday night roll in the sack contract sitting by the front door right now? We have lost our minds, people.
Well, we're living in a cesspool. We're living in a insane society that's demonic. And again, when are the people going to say, I've had enough? Father, that's what Father's waiting for. Father can end this
that's
tomorrow.
That's what I asked you, Dan. I've had enough.
Well,
what do we do?
It takes more than just you and me. Right now, you and I are fulfilling the duties of a watchman on the wall and possibly a prophet. So we're doing double duties in those regards. That's our job, okay? Unfortunately, we're not amongst the majority. We are witnessing to and talking to the tiny remnant out there. Now, the good news is Father's on our side, and he said, my remnant is going to come through this fire. We are Psalm 91 people. We are going to come through the fire. That's already written. I'm not worried about coming through the fire. I'm trying to get more people to come through the fire with me. I got no problem where I'm going. And even if the enemy
were to
take me in.
You got me as your wingman, Brother
huh?
Dan, unless you have a wingman, I want to fill out the application and speak to your HR director. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, you're already in that position, and so are some of the other men. We've got... I actually consider some of the men in our circle to be the cream of the crop. I really do. They are Radamanthine warriors, and there is no doubt about that. So what Father wants us to do with this small group of real men, real warriors, and some of the ladies that support us, I'm not sure yet. I haven't been given that. All I know is, at this point in time, we are to speak his truth into the ethers. And let me tell you, more and more of these channels are saying exactly what we have been talking about on this program. Exact verbiage. And there's only one way that could happen. So we are having an effect. We just have to have the patience to let Father work it out. It's having an effect. And this is going to turn around, and we are going to wipe out these wicked people. That's already written. It's going to happen. We just have to stay the course, stay on track, stay in the Father's good graces, keep on with what we're doing, take the high road, not the low road, just keep on doing what we're doing. I was told many years ago when I first started this, and it was very, very frustrating. I mean, there were nights I went on the air, and let me tell you, I could count the number of listeners on one hand and have fingers left over. It was very disappointing. No donations whatsoever, no support whatsoever, night after night on the radio. I had a family member come up to me, and we were in discussion, and I was telling him, I said, sometimes I feel like I'm hitting my head against the wall. And I just wonder, why am I doing this? And his advice to me was, Dan, what you're doing is important. Don't you ever stop. He said, this is like so many things in nature, just like the singer that goes and sings in all the dives and the bars for years and years and years until one day they're singing in a place and they're discovered by somebody that can make a difference. He said,
Wow, Dan, I got the Jesus bumps on that because
I
don't have your
this.
19 years, but I have 10 years and
exactly.
4.5 years on the Ustream on the Bank versus You. And there's some days, my girl Faith up there in Tennessee, I'm sure she's listening right now, it's just her and I some days. And
that's right.
What does the Bible say? If two or more gather, and
right.
You know, and right now there's, but I really took notice, if I may continue, I have noticed that I can count my listeners sometimes on my right hand and have a couple of spare fingers left.
Yeah.
But my friend that we talked about, my business partner, and others that really know me right here in my local jurisdiction, even the FBI guys that have been to my studio to tell me to shut it down, or not shut it down, I'm sorry, I misspoke, tone it down, said subliminally, keep it up, which means they know that we have a good mission going on here, okay? And I took that to heart, Dan. And when Ustream finally, you know, they came across and they said, okay, September 17th and blah, 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 I appealed and I said, look, I have funding for you as a public service channel and this, that, and the other. Well, they gave me about another 4 weeks. And then I got up one morning, came here in the studio, and my streamer was still connected, but the show was offline. And I thought, well, maybe it's this, that, and the other. And I checked, and okay. And it was obvious that, you know, I'm still connected, but they have masked out the channel. So I sat here. I was off air maybe 3 days, Dan, which is a record in 4.5 years. I have been on air every day in that period. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll try YouTube. But I know I have to be very careful. And see, before your show, I played Fight the Good Fight by Triumph. And those sea suckers, in the interest of being somewhat polite, they flagged me and took me off the air just before your show came on. So I went around the backside and with a new channel key, and your show is live.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my point is, Dan, is, oh my God, I don't know what my point is. I have so many out there. Why in the world are we spending so much brain mental gymnastics on things that could be done for the good? With what you and I have talked about and your crew that you mentioned earlier, our collective talents, we could create jobs, we could create new businesses. I've met most all of them. In fact, everyone you mentioned except one, I've met in person with you. And we, you know, I mean,
let me give you a synopsis or a hypothetical here, okay? Now, we know that there's a flame and a fire coming. We know that the overcomers are going to come through this fire. We're going to see many, many people get hurt. But Father said, I'm going to take this system down. This Babylonian system literally is going to go up in flames. Now, what if it's the remnant's job to rebuild once he destroys the wicked? Okay, we think that we have to become the flame and the fire. And at some point, we are going to be part of that. But that's not our call to bring that into fruition. So
let me ask you this,
real quick,
because you definitely hit the dart in the bullseye again. And even when I used to trust Karen Hootis, which has become a major Jew back with the Fed, and she was like, oh, Jim, you know, you're going to be the guy that's going to, you know, bring up the mortgage and the financial situations. And, of course, she was bullshitting me. But, Dan, with what you just said, and here's my question and I'll yield. based upon what you know about me in my background and all this, that, and the other, should I go dark and just wait for the calling and then be ready to go to work? And I don't mean work job. I mean come to my calling.
You're performing your calling right now.
Well, with the Ustream and with the having a tippy toe around YouTube, is it time for me to go off air and sit and wait with the group that I have coagulated and wait for Father to call me to duty? Or should I continue to play games with YouTube and try to stay on air, I guess is my point or my question.
You'll know. He'll make it very, very clear to you what he wants you to do in that regard. There are passages in the Word that talk about a time coming when the watchmen will be silenced for their own safety. And so that's very, very possible. And that's why we try every day to wake up as many as we can wake up, because the day could come by.
You said it, Dan.
The day could come when Father will silence his watchmen on purpose, because everybody will have had an opportunity to hear these truths.
See, you said it,
Dan.
Brother Dan, you just said it. And I'm going to take that because I did pray on it. I did fast on it. And the fact that when the day that Ustream did not connect and I couldn't get to my people out there, especially Faith, which is my faithful listener in Tennessee, I did take pause. I took serious pause in that. Mm-hmm. And then I knew I could broadcast on YouTube and even my business part. Oh, Jim, go to Facebook Live and go to Periscope and go to, and, you know, with all due respect, I love my business partner. He's a brother from a different mother, blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't get it. But, Dan, you just gave me a piece of advice that I'm going to take. It is time for me to go quiet. It is. And other than as long as I'm welcome on your biweekly calls, I love to participate. I will participate. I will stream. But I think it's time for me to go quiet, Dan. I really do.
Well, do you think? You'll know. You'll know.
Well, I think
every
I know,
time,
and I'm looking for solace from you or solidity from you.
Well, here's what you do. You can always undo it. I mean, nothing says that if you go silent, you can never speak again. It just means
you've
been
silent. Well, I did.
All right,
I went quiet for 3 days. Yeah.
What you do is go ahead with that. If that's your gut feeling and the Spirit's telling you to do it, do it. And what it is if that is what Father wants you to do, you'll get what I call the warm, fuzzy feelings. You'll just know.
Well, I got the jab in the side, and I didn't want to interrupt because I want to hear the biblical term that you're citing, but I got the nudge of, Jim, go back on air. And let me tell you a real quick story. After Hut Radio, I joined a California broadcaster. He found me. He called me and wanted me to do his morning news and financial things, and I did it. I was a novice, Dan. I had a Logitech microphone duct taped to my conference, my speakerphone. That's how I started all this. Now I've got, my God, you know, everything's patched in, clean, this, that, and the other. And I can even chew the windscreen off my microphone and pull one new one out of the drawer. But the guy, obviously wanted to build a Jerry Springer channel. I'll just leave it at that. Well, here's where Yeshua came in. This guy pissed me off on a Friday. I committed to do a show on Saturday, which I did. Then he called me with, Jimmy, you can't leave. Everyone loves you, and blah, 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 blah. So I did the evening show, and the guy pulled a CNN on me, okay? So I left, And on Sunday, I set up my Bank versus You on Ustream, and on Monday I took it live, and I am going to tear up here for a bit. Faith, free to be free. I don't know how these people found me, Dan. This is God's truth. They were there in my chat room on Monday cheering me on. Okay?
Yeah.
So 4.5 years, and, you know, not to exaggerate, 4 years, 8 months, whatever.
Sure.
Ustream decided that, you know, if I don't pay them $3,000 a month, that I'm gone. Okay. Now, I'm not going to pay $36,000 a year to broadcast on the internet when I can do it myself. But my listeners, my, like Faith, again, I know she's listening. She's a dear friend. She's always on my channel, always on my show. And that's one way we keep in touch, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are
ministering angels. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to wrap up, but, oh,
right.
She is definitely a kindred sister.
She's
an
angelos. The Greek word is angelos, and we call it angel today, but it in the Greek language, it means a messenger. It doesn't mean somebody coming down from the heavens on the other side.
Oh, if I don't broadcast for a couple hours or the loop runs past night, she'll text me, Jimmy, you okay? Jimmy, you okay? And that's love. It's great. But I guess my point is, and I'll yield here, I'll tell you, Dan, my gut, as much as it hurts me, it pains me to say this, my gut is to go off air and
address this. Well, why don't you give the father a fleece and go off air for, say, a week? Just take a week.
I prayed over this.
And then a week later, revisit it and see what happens in that time. He'll let you know. You're one
of
his.
Well, he let me know after 3 days off air, beyond my choice. And it was like, no, Jimmy, you need to get back on air and just try YouTube. But just be. So anyway, I don't want to tie up your show. I appreciate the airtime, but I am struggling with that, Dan. And you know what? In closing, to our listeners, I'm a strong man. I'm not a violent man. I'm more compassionate than an asshole. But I do need guidance, as you need guidance from me. I need guidance from you guys. I need to know what to do. I need to discuss it. I need to understand if I've gotten too close to the fire, if I've lost focus, if I'm missing something. But at the end of the day, I will close with, if you crowdsource in front of my car, you best be ready to be part of the undercarriage of my car. I'm not going to put up with this, Dan, at all. And thanks for your guidance. Really, I mean, I can give guidance to people, Dan, like nobody's business. But when it comes to be personal, there's very few people on this planet that I trust to give me guidance. And I am struggling whether to stay on air or not. And if I do go off air, I'm going to channel those efforts into something else. And perhaps it's not time yet. I don't know. Anyway, thanks for letting me get on the air.
Yep. You'll know. Trust me. He'll let you know. If you have any doubts at all, it's not the will of the Father. When the time is right, you'll know that you know, and there'll be no doubt whatsoever what you're supposed to do. So I'll include you in my nightly prayers, and that he gives you a sign or he speaks to you directly, whichever. He can talk to us in many different ways. So We'll get an answer for you on that one. But we've already been 2.5 hours, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Did you have anything further before we go for tonight?
No, sir, Dan, and always thank you for your gift of time. Thank you for your gift of service to our country in your early days with the Air Force. And I so appreciate you including me as part of your conference calls and weekly shows. Yahweh bless, and we love you.
Yep, love you too. Yahweh bless, and thanks for being part of it tonight, and to your audience as well. So you take care, Jimmy, and again, we're going to include that in our prayer as we close tonight. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, it's been a nice chat tonight. A lot of things going on. Everybody is anxious, as Jimmy is, and many of the people I talk to on a daily basis. And don't let that bother you. I mean, it's okay. It's okay to be anxious. It's okay to be wanting to make sure you're doing the right things. We all go through that. Father knows that. You know, Father looks at that as a sign of a caring heart, all right? And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to have the right hearts. He's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for people with crystal balls. He's not looking for people to solve the world's problems all by themselves. After all, he said that the way he brings this system down will give the glory to him, not to Donald Trump, not to good military. All right? It says that he will get the glory. So remember that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We know there are many enemies of our channels and our platforms out there, enemies of the truth, enemies of yours, people that hate our race, hate our beliefs, hate our customs, and wish to enslave all of mankind. These people are evil. Q itself has alluded to the fact that these people are wicked and evil people. And that's becoming quite known amongst the world. The world is waking up, just as Ezekiel told us. And we know that Babylon will be taken down in a relatively short period of time, and it'll be a fiery end, meaning it'll be dramatic. Every eye shall see, and you shall get the glory. We are not worthy of any of that, and that's a fact. We know that. We're not. This whole mess wouldn't be here if we'd have just obeyed you. If we'd have stayed true to you and each other, these things would not have happened. But we fell off the wagon, and now we're paying a dear price for it. And you've promised that your remnant would come through, and we thank you for that, Father. Again, we know that we don't deserve it, but you've promised it to us, and we're going to relish and enjoy and rejoice in the fact that we are your sons and daughters. And we're asking for forgiveness again. Wash us anew in the blood of the Christ. Make us new creatures in Christ and truth seekers and truth tellers. The truth above all things, even life itself, comes to naught if you don't have truth. Truth above all things. We ask for Jimmy and his struggling as to what to do. We ask that you'd bless him, Father. Reach down and touch him with the Holy Spirit. Counsel him with healing angels, as his listeners have turned out to be, and many of his friends. Let them give him good counsel. In the counsel of many, there's victory. And let his counselors be true, and let them give him good advice. And then the Holy Spirit will witness to what you want him to do. We also pray for our fellow Floridians up in the panhandle as they're getting smashed with this storm. I don't know if it's geoengineered or not. There's some really strange things happening with the weather. What's causing it, I really don't know. If you're doing it, or if it's a combination of you and works of man, or is it just a plain old storm? But there certainly are some strange things happening, and regardless of how it got there, it's wreaking havoc on the people of Florida, and it may even reach up and nail some of the folks up in Alabama and Georgia. So we include them in our prayers that you'd watch over your sons and daughters and put a hedge of protection around them. And we do pray for the awakening of people on this earth. There's been way too much violence, too much war, too much graft, rape, murder, prostitution, child rape, organ harvesting, you name it, and we haven't even seen the worst of it yet. And I'm not even sure I even want to know what the worst is. It's bad. We know it's bad, and you know it's bad, and this is not what you intended. So encourage us to do the right things, Father, as leaders, because that's what the remnant are. The remnant are the elect for the end times. The remnant are the leaders that everybody's going to be looking for in the end for answers. And that's why I've told the brethren that know this identity message, study up, people. They're going to want answers. They're going to need answers, and they need the truth. They've been lied to enough, and that's our job, to give them the truth. And armed with the truth, we've become a vast and mighty army, as Ezekiel said in chapter 37. And that valley of dead and dry bones will become a living, breathing army, a mighty army. And that's exactly what I think is happening right now. So we just need to stay the course. And we ask for your guidance, your discernment, the Holy Spirit to minister unto us and to correct us if we're wrong, to encourage us when we stand against the wicked and the evil, and to give us a heart of compassion for our brothers and sisters out there. Start thinking as a group. Start thinking as a family instead of individuals. Most of the Bible was written to us as a group, not individuals. Father cares about us as a large family. And boy, we sure need to learn how to be family again. I can't tell you the testimonies of people that did not grow up in good family situations, and that's a shame. We need to fix that, Father. We need to fix lots of things. And we ask again that you would walk with us and protect us and guide us to your glory and for the restoration of this poor earth that is being put upon by so many forces and so much evil at this time. And we'll give you the praise, glory, and honor. And once again, Father, and we're here. We stand ready, as Jimmy says all the time. We stand ready as your servants to do as you see fit. And watch out for our brothers and sisters. Again, put a wall of protection around them. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.